Christy, I appreciate the songs and the music and being willing to. I like people come to church and no matter whether it's their home church or not, they just like to serve God. And I appreciate her coming and singing, being a blessing to us through music, and appreciate the hard work put into that. Well, I see. Now, I'm assuming, I don't know, but I'm assuming that somebody put this up here because last Sunday, let me rewind here. For those of you that weren't here last Sunday morning, I used an illustration. I probably will never use it again because I've taken more flack over that, using that illustration of candies, and I haven't any message I've preached here in 2 years. So probably never use that sermon again. But someone's put not just the gospel, I mean, they've put the gospel. King size Snicker bar. And so I don't know who did that, but God bless you with many blessings and favor. But I used the Snicker bar is my favorite candy bar, and I used the illustration last Sunday morning as an illustration of the gospel. And you can't substitute Three Musketeer and claim it's a Snicker. It's another gospel. And so I used the illustration of that. And man, I had every candy bar lover attack me after church, and man, about, you know, their favorite was Butterfingers and Twix and all kinds of stuff, you know. So I thought, Lord, I'm not going to preach that one again. I'm not going to take that kind of flack anymore. Whoever sent that, I appreciate that. And I'll stick that in my pocket and eat that when my wife's not looking sometime. Take your Bible, if you would. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture. I announced to you this morning the subject matter of tonight. I think it's important in our development of character, as we have been studying and learning on Sunday nights about character under construction, conforming to the image of Christ. And I think it's important for us to realize that character is formed through habits. May I say that not only is good character formed through good habits, but bad character is formed through bad habits as well. And I want to look at some things tonight and help us on this subject of the development of goodly habits. The development of goodly habits. 1 Samuel chapter 8, we're going to read a verse in the area of and passage that I read out of this morning. Then Jeremiah 22 and Daniel chapter 1. 1 Samuel 8, Jeremiah 22, Daniel chapter number 1. All right, let's stand together out of love and respect for the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 8, Jeremiah 22, and Daniel chapter number 1. Now let me give you some background real quick before we read. We're only going to read verse 8 out of 1 Samuel 8. Where the nation of Israel is at this time is that Samuel, the leader, the man of God, has now aged a little bit. He's become old. He's not been able to carry about the ministries and things that he desired. And he's getting older in his life. And he had two sons, one by the name of Joel and the other by the name of Abiah. And because of his old age, he put his two sons as judges over Israel. Well, we find out in verse 3 that his sons didn't always have the same views that their daddy had. They didn't have the same philosophy of ministry. They didn't have the same direction. They were kind of overwhelmed with some things. As a matter of fact, so to the place that they turned after, the scripture says, they turned after lucre or money. They took bribes and perverted judgment. You say, what does all that mean? That means they got paid off. And there were, because they had no principles, they had no character. And so they really didn't qualify to be leaders and qualify for the position of judging Israel. Well, the leadership of Israel saw this dilemma, and they saw that the man of God was getting old and his two sons were wanting change. And instead of waiting on God to raise someone up, and because, by the way, God had always led them. God had always provided for them. And instead of waiting on God, they decided they wanted a king, by the way, which they had never had in their history. But they wanted a king, and they wanted him right now. They wanted to be like everybody else. You can check me out. We're not going to read these tonight. But they wanted to be like everybody else. They wanted to be like all the other nations, and they didn't listen to the man of God. But I want to show you what that type of spirit and attitude conjures up in the life of people. Verse number 8, the scripture says, God says, according to all the works which they have done, now listen to this, since the day I brought them up out of Egypt. Now stop and think about this just a minute. God says, whatever I'm telling you here, Samuel, he said, the people, the reason they want a king, the reason they're rejecting me, the reason they're putting me off, he said, this is something that they've been doing on and off since the day they came out of Egypt. Listen, here it is, church. He says, they began and formulated a bad habit. And the habit that they had formed was they began to do things on their own. And so now they figured, you know what? We can go forward without God. And they said that I brought them up out of Egypt even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. You know why? Because they had formulated a habit. And that habit was going about their day godless. That was going about their day, or, listen, one of Israel's problems was, is they began to follow the man instead of the God of the man. Now, folks, here's something you need to understand. God has put me here as pastor for a reason. But let me tell you something. You're to follow the God of the preacher, not necessarily the preacher. Are you following me? Now, listen, you follow as I follow God, but you listen to me. There might be a day when I go off the scene, you've got to follow the God of the preacher. And that's who you're serving. That's who you're trying to please. And Israel had formulated a habit. And now it came down to where this bad habit began to produce an attitude. And they said, give us a king. Turn to Jeremiah 22. Jeremiah 22. And verse number 21. Jeremiah 22 and verse number 21. God said, I spake unto thee, speaking of Israel, in thy prosperity, but thou saidest, I will not hear. This hath been thy, you see that word manner right there? I want you to circle the word manner. If you believe in writing in your Bible, draw a line to your margin. I want you to put the word habit. He says, this hath been thy manner. In other words, this is a habit that you have formed from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. Now, church, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Do you understand just as quick as a person can develop a good habit, they can also develop a bad habit? And if we're not careful, we can develop a bad habit of not responding to preaching anymore. We can develop a bad habit of not coming to the altar anymore. We can develop a bad habit, and if we're not careful, young people, and you listen to me, teenagers, here it said Israel developed this from their youth. And many times you'll find out that a bad habit started in youth is almost impossible to break as an adult. Now, look, if you would, in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Remember old Daniel? in captivity. But I want you to notice in verse number 8, but Daniel, and I want you to notice this word, purposed. In other words, he made his mind up. He had lived for God. He had made it such a habit of serving the God, or serving God, that Daniel had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. But you know why? Because he had already made his mind up. He had already formed a habit of serving God, and he said, I've purposed in my heart, I've made my mind up what direction that I'm going. The church, here it is in a nutshell real quick, and we're going to pray. Listen, you've got to have to make up your mind which direction you're going to go. You've got to make up your mind, are you going to be a Christian or not? Now, if you are going to be a Christian, then you've got to form some goodly habits. And if we're going to form some good habits that's going to produce a good Christian life and it's going to produce good character, then we've got to know how do we go about this thing of developing goodly habits in our Christian life. Father, bless the short time that we have together tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Church, almost without exception, everything that we do today in our life was developed by habit. Now, a habit is something that you do long enough or on purpose that it becomes a reflex. Have you ever met people and we've all done this. I shouldn't say if you ever met people because we've all done this. And someone asks you, well, how are you doing? And you know what your common answer is? Fine. You just do it by reflex. Now listen, your whole world in life may have collapsed around you, but you know what? You're doing fine. Why? Because it's become such a habit of that response that anytime anybody asks you, how you doing? Fine. Listen, I probably asked a dozen people, how are things going? Fine. How are you tonight? Fine. And you may know down in your heart things aren't always fine in your life. But it becomes a habit of saying it over and over and over again. We just do it by reflex. That's what a habit is. Most of our daily schedule is not kept by inspiration or by decision, church. It's kept rather by a habit. Now, people by nature are creatures of habit. And everybody said, mm-hmm, you betcha. We're creatures of habit. Now, think about this for just a moment. If you go, gentlemen, to the barber shop for a haircut, and let's say you go at 12:30 in the afternoon, just shortly after lunch, and you go and the sign says, gone to lunch. You say, man, I missed it. I'll try back tomorrow. And you go back tomorrow at 12:30 and the sign's in the window and says, gone to lunch. You say, man, I missed him again. And you go back the third day at 12:30 in the afternoon and the sign says, gone to lunch. Have you figured out that the old boy's probably gone to lunch at 12:30? Because it's a habit. That's when he set aside that time to eat every day. So listen, you can go back until you're blue in the face, but can I tell you, if he goes to lunch at 12:30, he's a creature of habit, he's going to go to lunch at 12:30 every day. So why do you keep going back at 12:30? You see, people are creatures of habit. You know, it's a proven fact that it takes approximately 40 days of continual participation in something to form a habit. You say, have you proved? I didn't prove it. Some other people did, so I'm taking their word for it. Now, that's interesting. Think with me now. That's interesting because the number 40 in the Bible is the number of testing. And they say it takes approximately 40 days in order to form a habit. Now, listen, this is why, church, bad habits are hard to break and good habits are hard to stop. You see, this is why a person who has cursed for years, they get saved, might let one or two slip every now and then as a young Christian. Well, some of them let one or two slip even though they're an older Christian, but we're not going to go there. But you know why? It's because they've done it for so long. They've had vile communication come out of their mouth so long, they get saved. Hey, listen, God enlightened their spirit, saved their soul. But let me tell you something, He ain't sanctified that flesh. And that flesh has gotten used to speaking a certain way. And sometimes certain things come out of our mouth that shouldn't come out. Now, think about this. How many of you have ever gotten in your car and you've had every intention, you got in your car and you think, listen, man, I got to run pick up something at the store, or you plan to go to the grocery store, and you got in your car and you cranked your car up, you backed out and you took off, and the next thing you know, you think, man, what am I doing? And you're heading to the church. You ever done that? I did that just the other day. Got all the way down here on Davis. I thought, what am I doing? I had no intention. I didn't want to go to the church. I wanted to go over here. But listen, the thing about it is, my mind had been trained. Get in the car, crank it up, go to church. Get in the car, crank it up, go to church. You know why? Because it's something that I have done over and over and over again. And so, consciously, I got in my truck, cranked it up, backed it out, and guess where I started coming? I started coming to church. Why? Because it's a habit with me. It's become a habit over 28 years of salvation and Christianity. You see, what I'm saying to you tonight, church, is this. It's easier broken and quicker undone is a chain of iron shackles, someone said, than a habit once begun. They said it's easier to break a chain and break shackles rather than to undo a habit once it's begun. You've heard this saying, I'll say it again. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow character, you reap a destiny. And there's a lot to be said about forming habits and building character. Many of you mamas have camped out on Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. How many of you mamas have claimed that verse, huh? Yeah, you've camped out on that verse, and boy, you've read that verse, you quoted that verse, and you said, bless God, this is what I'm going to do because I'm going to raise good kids. Now listen to me very carefully. If you make a child do what he's supposed to do long enough under the right authority, he'll develop a good habit whether he wants to or not. You hear me? I said you'll cause them to develop a habit whether they want the habit or not. As a child being under that authority. Because the word train means to do something over and over again. For instance, we're coming up at the end of this month. Man, it's hard to believe, isn't it? You football fans, can you believe it's training camp again? Now, you know there's a reason they call it training camp? Because when they go to training camp, guess what they do? They go over drills over and over and over again to get them in shape, to get them familiar with the game plan and with the game book. Training a child is like that. It's teaching them to do something over and over and over. Listen now, but under the right authority. The church, some church members have developed a habit of not responding to invitations, while others have developed a habit of responding to invitations. Now I want to say this. There's two reasons you ought to respond to an invitation. First of all, you ought to respond to an invitation at church because God has spoken to your heart. And God speaks to your heart. He's speaking and saying, listen, let's do something about this. If God speaks to you, you ought to come. So, well, preacher, what's the second reason you ought to come to the altar when God doesn't speak to your heart? Amen. Hey, you ought to come when God speaks, but you ought to come when God doesn't speak, because obviously something's wrong. You say, you mean that, preacher, at invitation, the altars ought to be filled? Boy, you're catching on. You're catching on. Hey, those are the reasons why we ought to respond to an invitation. Christians don't attend evening services because they've developed a bad habit of not coming. That's the reason people don't come on Wednesday night. You know why? They develop a bad habit of not coming. And yet the Scripture says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, or ourselves together, as the manner, there's that word again, as the habit of some is. Some get in a bad habit. And they get a bad habit of not attending church. Now folks, what I'm saying to you is that bad character is developed because of the deficiency of poor habits. Now, if bad habits or a bad character is developed because of the deficiency of poor habits, then doesn't it make sense that godly character has to be developed by the force of good habits? You see, in other words, good characters develop through a set of good habits. And when you get to the place where you do what you're supposed to do without someone having to motivate you to do it, listen now, you're on the borderline of becoming a good Christian. Because Christianity sometimes is going to have to be followed through in our life without somebody having to motivate. You know what? The preacher shouldn't have to motivate people to come to the altar. The preacher shouldn't have to motivate people to say amen and shout and praise God. The preacher shouldn't have to motivate. Listen, we ought to do it because it's a habit. Because we've developed that spirit of responding to the preaching of God's word. Now you say, preacher, how do we do it? Well, I want to say, first of all, good habits are developed by repetition. I said good habits are developed by repetition. Take your Bible, if you would, go to Luke chapter 22. Did you know that our Lord exemplified repetition? I want to show you something. Go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Now, while you're turning there, let me just remind you that the word repetition just simply means reproduction. It just simply means a duplication of something again and again. How many of you have been to a piano recital before? You ever been to a piano recital? You know why they call it a recital? It's because that when these kids get up at that piano recital, what they're doing is they are doing something again and again in front of people that they've gone over and over and over and practiced by repetition. That's the reason they call it a recital. They come and recite what they've gone over and over and over again. How many of you in school, when you were in grade school or maybe in high school and stuff, how many of you decided, you know what, I can't recite anything in front of anybody, and so I'm just going to take a zero because I can't stand up in front of people? Did you do that, Brother Ingram? Well, you got over that quick. He's not afraid now. But good habits are developed by repetition. Now look at Luke chapter 22 and verse number 39. Luke 22 and verse number 39. And he came out and went, this is speaking of Jesus now, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. Now I want you to go by and you see that word want, W-O-N-T, circle that, and I want you to draw an arrow out to your margin. Write the word custom or habit. Did you notice that the scripture says he came out, Jesus, and went as he was wont, as his custom was, as his habit was, and where did he go to? He went to the Mount of Olives. Jesus demonstrated repetition. That word want means to develop a habit by doing something over and over and over again. Oh, by the way, have you ever wondered in Scripture how Judas knew where to go find Jesus on the night of the betrayal? You know why? Because it was Jesus' custom. It was his habit to go to a place at a certain time and pray. And that's the reason Judas was able to find him with that with pretty much ease, because he knew where he was going to be. Why? Because the Lord had formed a habit, see. And he had formed it by repetition. And you know what he was teaching his disciples? He was teaching his disciples, gentlemen, if we're going to be good Christians, if we're going to have character, and we're going to be conformed to my image, you must develop goodly habits. And he was teaching them by illustration, an example of repetition. Go to Acts chapter 17. Go to Acts 17. Let me show you something else here. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. Look at verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These, that's the people of Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Listen to that. Listen to this. And that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Now here it is. And searched the scriptures how often? Almost sounds like they had formed a habit, right? Almost sounds like it was habitual of them that they searched the scriptures daily whether those things be so. You know what, folks? You're not going to offend me. But when I stand up here and preach and I make statements, you know what? You ought to go to your Bible and check me out. You're not going to hurt my feelings. That's what the church at Berea did. They checked it out, whether these things be so. And yet here the church at Berea exemplified repetition. They search. In other words, that word search there means to make a thorough investigation of. Kind of like a man looking at a map trying to find the best way to get someplace. For those of us that might look at a map, guys. You know, men and maps are contrary to one another. They're opposite terms. Come on, ladies, help me out. Give me a witness right there. You don't have to say amen. You can raise your hand and say, I believe that. You see, it's like a man studying a map, trying to find exactly what is the best way. That's what the church at Berea did. They searched the Scriptures daily, whether these things be so. They had formed a habit of being in the Word of God because they have done it over and over and over again. So when Paul and Silas came, listen, folks, they were already searching the Scriptures before Paul and Silas ever showed up. It was a habit to them. They begin to seek and search the Scriptures, and here comes Paul and Silas, and they preach. And they said, wait a minute now, we're going to be checking you out in the Bible. And so they searched the Scriptures because it had become a habit to them. Go back up to the same chapter in verse number 2. And Paul, here it is again, as his manner was. See that word manner? Circle it right out on the side of your Bible. Habit. As his habit was. As his custom was. As his manner was, he went in unto them and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. You know what Paul had made it a habit of doing? Paul had made it a habit of doing that when he visited a city. You know where the first place he went? Went to church. Because it was a habit to him. He had done it for so long, over and over and over. Why? It was repetition. So that when he'd go to a town, he would look for the synagogue to go in. You see, the Apostle Paul, it was his manner to teach the Word of God. It was a habit. It was his manner to witness for Jesus Christ. You know, it's easy to get out of being a witness for Christ. Do you know witnessing is habitual? And when you get out of the habit of being a witness or handing a tract out to someone, you see, the thing about it is handing a tract out and witnessing becomes a habit. Now, how did it become a habit? How does passing a tract out to somebody become a habit? Because you do it over and over out of repetition, right? Yesterday, I went through another drive-thru to get me something to drink while I was out making some visits. And this little girl was at the window, and she gave me the change. She just opened that window, gave me the change, and tried to say, ma'am, ma'am, ma'am. She opened it back up. I said, I have something for you. And I said, here's a little tract that talked to you a little bit about church, tell you about how to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you know something, the thing about it, she didn't say, I don't want that. You know what, she took that, and as I drove off, she was looking at that at the window. Now, you say, preacher, why did you do that? It's become a habit to me. Because I've done it for 28 years. I've done it over and over and over and over again. And out of repetition, when I go through, it's just natural now for me to give somebody a tract. You see, Paul had become that. He had become a witness by habit. You know what else had become a habit to him? Training converts to grow had become a habit to him. He had taken time out to train those that he had won to Christ. You see, these people did what they did by reflex because of habits that had been formed by repetition. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives constantly on a regular basis, probably close to the same time. And so it had become a habit to him. The church at Berea searched the Scriptures daily. Why? Because it had become a habit to them. The Apostle Paul witnessed daily. He taught daily. He would go into a town and look for the synagogue. He trained converts. Why? Because it was his manner. It become a habit because of repetition. Number two. I said good habits are developed by repetition. Number two, good habits are developed by consistency. Good habits are developed by consistency. Take your Bible, if you would, and find Daniel chapter number 6. Go to Daniel chapter number 6. Now, I think we all know the story of Daniel and remember the conspiracy against Daniel because of who he was and the jealousy of the leaders of his day. And they decided to bring a decree before King Darius and make a decree that no one could pray to any other god except the god of the Assyrians, the god of Darius. And if anybody prayed to any other god, they'd be thrown into the den of lions. Well, they brought this decree before Darius, and he took his ring and sealed that. And we come to verse number 10, and the scripture says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did." Uh-oh, look at this now. Circle this word. Here it is. You see the word aforetime? Circle that. Write that out beside your Bible. Write the word habit. You see, Daniel had prayed consistently 3 times a day, every day. It had become a habit to it. Now, I want to say a couple things about this, if I could, church, and just practically. I said good habits are developed by consistency. Let me say, first of all, set some specific times to do certain things. Set specific times to do certain things. You see, what this does, this eliminates you from having to make yourself do something. If you live, now listen, I know this is Christian cursing, but I'm going to curse anyway, all right? It's called a schedule. It's called being organized. And listen, if we don't live by a schedule, let me tell you what's going to get pushed out of your life. All spiritual things will get pushed out of your life. So there must be formed by habit, and you must live by a schedule. Let me give you a couple of things here to think about. First of all, set a time to read your Bible, listen, on purpose. Now here's what we do. Oh, man, I've made a commitment to God to read one chapter a day, and so I'm going to Psalm 117, get my chapter in. And some of you aren't laughing, you're bothering me because that's only got 2 verses in it, all right? Now, if I said chapter 119, then you could frown. But listen, because we've got to get our Bible reading in, right? And, oh, I promised God I'd memorize a verse every day. I better run to John 11:35. Jesus wept. Whew. Man, I got my verse in for the day. Folks, listen. You know why things have not become a habit in your life? Because you don't do it on purpose. You need to set a time to read your Bible every day on purpose. And what I mean on purpose, I mean read it to get something out of it. Read it to know, to study, to show thyself approved unto God. And yet, many of us don't form a habit of reading our Bible because we don't read on purpose and we don't have a set time. Number 2, set a time to pray on purpose. Jesus exemplified habitual prayer. He taught his disciples habitual prayer. You see, he taught them to pray because many times he would pray many times he'd go to the Mount of Olives over and over again. They had been there many times with him. You see, he set up a time to pray. Can I go a step further and just say, set up a place to pray? Not just a time to pray, a place to pray. Set up an altar in your home. Wherever that may be, whether it be an office, an extra room in the house, somewhere where that place is dedicated for your Bible reading and your prayer time on purpose. Let me say this, set a time for family devotion. Set a time. Because folks, if you don't, it's going to get pushed out. I'm telling you, you listen to what I'm telling you, the reason most families don't have any devotion is because they don't plan to. Because there's no schedule to. It's not that they don't have time. It's just that they're not scheduled. And when it's not scheduled, it doesn't become a habit. And let me tell you something, mamas and daddies, when you start a devotion time, hang on, because the kiddos in the house will remind you, oh, it's devotion time. What are we doing watching a movie? We're supposed to be praying and reading God's word right now. Well, we'll do that later. Well, Dad, you lied to God then. Hey, kids are brutally honest. My granddaughter, from time to time, all of our kids are out of the house now. My granddaughter, many times we do things by schedule and habit and things around our house. Because I'm a creature of habit, I like to Well, I'm not going to tell you all the things, but my wife knows those. You know, I like to eat at certain times of the day. She knows when I like to eat. I'm just a creature of habit. But my granddaughter, many times, because we live by such a schedule and a habit, many times when that we get out of that schedule, she reminds me, "Poppy, we're not doing this. Why aren't we doing this today? I thought we were supposed to be doing this. And let me tell you something, because kids are brutally honest, because if you're going to train them up in the way they should go, they're going to hold you to that. Now, wait a minute, this is what you taught me to do. This is the habit you formed in me. Why are we not doing this? Why are we not living by this schedule that we had formed as far as a family devotion time? May I say, set a time for family meals and fun. Just do things by a schedule, folks. You say, "Well, preacher, my schedule's too hectic. We can't live by schedule. We can't be organized and do all that kind of stuff." It may be that's the reason things are in an uproar at home, because things are so unsettled, because there's no habits that have been formed. See? You see, we have no set time, we have no set place, and we have no set methods. Therefore, we have no habits as far as goodly habits for the things of God. You see, when the things of God become a habit, listen now, you'll not forget them. Let me say that again. That didn't go over very well. I said, when the things of God become a habit, you will not forget them. You know how I know that to be true? How many of you got to go to work in the morning? Mm-hmm. You know why you know that you've got to go to work in the morning? How many of you know what time you're supposed to be at work? You know why? Because it's become a habit. And let me tell you what that awful, terrible boss of yours did. What he did is when he hired you, he told you had to be here at a certain time. You go to lunch at a certain time, you get off at a certain time. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to formulate a habit in you. So you listen, you've done it for so many years. You've got to be at work at a certain time. You go to lunch at a certain time. You get off at a certain time. Many of you have done that for years so much that it's become a habit that your wife can almost to the minute say, 2:01, he's coming in. Click. There you are. Because you've done it for so long. See, you've lived by a schedule and a time. But when the things of God become a habit, you'll not forget them. Listen, I promise you, most of you aren't going to wake up tomorrow at 10 o'clock and say, "Man, I forgot to go to work. Man, I forgot to go to work today." Listen, some of us are going to go out and sit on a boat and go fishing. Listen, I promise you, if I'm sitting out on the boat when I'm supposed to be working, it's not that I'm out on that boat because I forgot to go to work. I'm out on that boat fishing because I didn't want to go to work. Amen. And the reason we don't form goodly habits is because we don't want to. It's not that we can't, it's we don't want to, because it takes work. You see, forgetfulness of these things is a result of them not being a habit. Remember in Philippians chapter 4, matter of fact, just turn there real quick. Turn there right quick. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Philippians 4, 8. You'll recognize it once you get there. Remember this verse, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise." Look at this now. What are we to do? If these things are going to become a habit in our thinking process, listen to me, church. What do we have to do if they're going to become a habit? Think on these things. These are the things that have to permeate our thought life. If we're going to think in purity, if we're going to think in honesty, if we're going to think of things that are pure and lovely and of good report. We are what we think. Look down in verse 11. Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect of want." He says, "For I have learned." Stop. How do you think he learned this? Talk to me now. How do you think he learned what he learned by habit? How many of you agree with me that the Apostle Paul went through some pretty rough things in his life? He went through some pretty rough things, didn't he? Now listen to what he said. He said, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be." You know where contentment came from in his life? It came by habit. It's because he spent most of his life having to deal with situations that were uncomfortable, but he said, you know what, God's put me in these positions, so therewith I'm going to be content with them. He had learned contentment through habit. He had learned it because he had been in the situations over and over and over again. Now, church, listen very carefully. Consistency will not yield to distraction. Once we build a habit and we do something consistently over and over and over again, it will not yield to distraction. Listen, most of you know what time you've got to be at work. You're not going to forget to go to work. And so you're going to get in your car and the traffic's going to slow down. Just because that's a distraction, are you going to lose the consistency of going to work because you don't like the traffic? Of course not. Those distractions are not going to hinder the consistency of you being on your job. Listen, goodly habits are not conditional. Goodly habits are things that we must do and take care of. Now, let me say this. Bad influence will not interrupt good habits. Now, I remind you when we read just a moment ago in Daniel chapter 6 that he understood the consequences before he opened the windows to pray 3 times that day because he already knew the decree had gone into effect. You see, the thing about it, it had become a habit to him. And regardless of what laws were passed, regardless of what had been in what influence was doing, he was sticking with his good habits. You see, good habits imprint the spirit. Good habits put a stamp on the soul. Good habits, listen, are automatic and are reflex. Now let me say this. There's a warning from Scripture, however, and that warning is that forming a bad habit will corrupt good manners. Because the Scripture is very plain that evil communications corrupt good manners. How many of you ever had a bowl of fruit sitting on the table, maybe apples, maybe peaches, one of them got a bad spot on it? You thought, man, Lab, I really need to get that out of there. Because if I don't get that out of there, that's going to affect the other peaches here. Pretty soon I'm going to have a bowl of rotten peaches. You say, man, I need to get that out of there, and you forgot. And you came back the next day, and not only did you have one rotten peach, now you had 2 rotten peaches. You say, how did the other peach affect, the bad peach affect the good peach? Contact. Did you know if the 2 peaches were in separate bowls, the good peach would still have been a good peach, the rotten peach would still have been a rotten peach? Am I getting too deep for y'all? Are you getting what I'm saying? You see, the reason the bad peach affected the good peach is because of contact. And how evil communications corrupt good manners is by contact, folks. It's by bad contact with people who do not see or view things and the things of God as you do. And if you don't get away from that bad influence, it will corrupt your good habits. Let me give you a third thing real quick. I said, first of all, good habits are formed by repetition. Secondly, I said, good habits are developed by consistency. May I say this, number 3? There's protection in good habits. I said there's protection in good habits. You say, well, how do you know that? Write this down. You can go read it in your spare time. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 1, 2, 3, and 4. Because there came a day when kings were supposed to go out to battle. And it had always been this particular king's habit to always go out to battle, except this time. And so when he was supposed to be out to battle, he didn't go this day. And he was a man of war. He was a man of battle. And it was his custom, it was his manner to be out in battle at this time. But this day, David chose not to go. You see, being where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be there, has a lot to do with success. And because David chose not to go out to battle, but to stay at home, he went out on a roof one day and he saw a woman by the name of Bathsheba bathing herself. He lusted after her and committed adultery with her. Now let's rewind this just a moment. What if he would have been out to battle? What if he would have stayed consistent with his habits as he had formed as a man of battle. What if he had gone out to battle? Let me ask you this. Would he have seen Bathsheba? No, he would not. Would he have committed adultery with her? No, he would not. Listen, would he have killed her husband? No, he would have not. You see, what I'm saying to you today, church, is this. Oh, by the way, would that baby have been born and died? No, it would not. You see, the thing about it is, if David would have stuck to his good habits, there were protection in those habits. And when he veered away from that good habit, it cost him, and it cost other people as well. You see, there's protection in good habits. Being in the right place at the right time. If he would have done that, his whole life would have changed. I read not too long ago a story about a man that got up one morning, Christian man, and he got up a few minutes late. Anybody ever done that? Got up a few minutes late and had to kind of rush around to kind of get ready. And you know how it is, ladies, you just kind of throw your hair up in one of those pebbles deals, you know, put a bone in it. Just kind of pull it, you know what I'm talking about. And you know, guys, hey, listen, guys, we shouldn't laugh. Here's what we do. We go in and take water. This is how we comb our hair. With water. And when it dries, it looks like somebody dumped 40 quart oil, 40 weight oil on your head. But he'd gotten up late one morning and he was rushing around the house trying to get ready for work. And he had a time every morning that he spent in devotion time with God. But because he was late, he thought, man, I'm running behind. I don't have time to pray this morning. I don't have time for devotion time this morning. And as he was getting ready and he thought, man, I'm getting my stuff together. I got to go. The Holy Spirit says, no, wait a minute now. You dedicated that time. It's not my fault you got up late. It's not my fault that, you know what, you're going to have to miss breakfast. It's not my fault that you stayed up late last night. It's not my fault. He said, you dedicated. He said, the Holy Spirit convicted him. And the Holy Spirit said, listen, this is my time. You owe me this time. Well, he was a little frustrated because he's going to be late for work, but he said, well, Holy Spirit, you're right. He got on his knee, got his Bible out, had his Bible time and prayer time. Took about 20 to 30 minutes. And so he got his stuff together and he got in his car and he traveled down the highway. And as he was traveling down the highway, he looked up ahead and he saw a bunch of flashing lights. And as he got closer, he saw that a semi had jackknifed in the road and had actually turned sideways in the road and cleared out about two or three cars and smashed them flat. And so they're detouring the traffic around the accident. He found out later that the accident had only taken place about 30 minutes before he got there. Now follow me on this. He began to think, and as he passed the accident, the Holy Spirit said, this is why you need to stick with your habits. This is why you need to stick with your devotion time, because listen to me, friend, the Holy Spirit said, that's what I just protected you from, because if you'd have left 30 minutes ago, you probably would have been involved in this accident. You see, there's protection in good habits. Let me give you one more, and that is good habits will be attacked regularly. Good habits will be attacked regularly. May I remind you in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You see, your good habits will be attacked regularly. May I remind you, Christian, that temptation will be your constant companion? You say, no, I've been kicked that guy out of my life. Well, tell me how you did it, because he's still in mine. He still bothers me every day. And he probably bothers you every day as well. You see, temptation will be our constant companion. And you know what he'll say? He said, look, you've been faithful for all these years. It's not going to hurt to miss church one time. It's not going to hurt to get in the boat and go fish and miss church Sunday night one time. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt to go to your deer stand and miss church one Wednesday night. It's not going to hurt anything. You see, temptation will always be there. He will be your constant companion. You see, it's not going to hurt missing church just one time. He'll say, you know what? You've been a faithful tither and giver. It's not going to hurt. Listen, you've got some needs and we're kind of a little bit short on our rent. It's not going to hurt to take your tithe and pay your rent one time. You see, temptation's always going to be there. But if it's a habit, and you've formed a habit by knowing the command of God, listen, that temptation, you can ward off that temptation. Can I say something to you tonight, church? Ask David if missing one time affected him. Ask David if missing one battle changed his life forever. It did. And by the way, it changed the life of other people as well because of it. You see, good habits will be attacked regularly. So protect the habits that you develop. Once a good habit, church, is developed, guard it and work at it consistently. Because you may have to do some things that you don't enjoy doing to protect those good habits. Now, I've been going to church with many of you people for years. I know many of you people. I know that a lot of you folks are what I would consider a very non-confrontational individual. Now, my personality is a little more confrontational, but some are not. And some, in order to protect those good habits, there's going to have to be confrontation. And you know what? You're going to have to tell some people. You're going to have to tell some people, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Oh, you're going to have to tell some people, I'm sorry, I can't go there. Or I'm sorry, I've got church tonight. Or sorry, I'm teaching Sunday school. Listen, I've got to be in the house of God tonight. Sorry, I can't do that. Oh, listen, and sometimes it may be family members that you have to tell. You say, well, preacher, I'm sorry, I just can't tell family members. No, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, let me ask you this, do you want to hurt their feelings or God's? You want to hurt their feelings or you want to disappoint your God? You see, sometimes if we're not careful, we get things out of priority. So good habits will be attacked regularly, so you've got to protect them. Now let me make these closing statements and I'm done. That's this, church. If you indulge in things that you know are wrong, you're going to deplete your power to resist and you will weaken what was once a good habit. When you participate in things that you know that are wrong, you're going to deplete your power to resist, and you're going to weaken what was once a good habit. You see, goodly character is built on goodly habits. Godly character is built on godly habits of righteousness, obedience, and reflex service. You say, preacher, what's reflex service? That means when the church needs to volunteer, you volunteer. Why? Because it's habit. Because you've made a commitment to serve God and it's a habit to serve God. You see, you can decide what kind of habits, church, that you're going to develop. But I want you to listen to this final statement. But after you've developed a habit, whether it be good or bad, you're going to be shocked to find out how much control that habit has over you and how little control you have over it. Once you establish it, listen, do you know every day at a certain time, my body clock goes off. Any of y'all got a body clock? My body clock goes off. I can set my alarm for 5:30 in the morning and my body clock will go off literally just a few minutes before 5:30. Because I know I have to get up, so I tell my body clock I need to get up at 5:30. This morning, I get to church very early on Sunday mornings to pray. I come to the auditorium and pray. I go over the property and pray. And so I get here very early. Listen, I've done that for so many years. It's become a habit now. I almost don't even have to set the alarm because my body clock goes off at a certain time on Sunday mornings, and I'm able to get up and go after it. But, you know, once you decide what those habits are going to be, the amazing thing that you'll find is that developing that habit, you're going to find out how much control that habit has over you and how little control you have over it. That's a reason it's very important to develop goodly habits Because if we're going to have goodly character and godly character, that has to be connected by habits and forming the habits that are conducive to good character. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many can say, "Preacher, I'm saved"? No question about it. Sip your hand way up high. Say, "That's me. I'm a Christian. I've been born again." All right. God bless you. You can put your hands down.